run for cover. This is Radioactive Sports with superstar Mike Morris and Ben Holson.
I take pride in my hair.
Feel that? Radioactive Sports in the afternoon on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
You feel that?
I do.
What does it feel like? Why does it smell like burnt fish?
I don't know. I always say if it smells like trout, throw it out.
Ba-boom.
And smells like chicken. I don't know what it is. I don't know what that smell is.
So there is a meteorologist in, I want to say, Boston, who was talking about the solar system. Because when you think of solar systems, you know, on the evening news,
think of Boston.
You think of meteorologists in Boston.
Well, that too.
Here's exclusive audio from this guy talking about that last night.
Two prominent stars, planets. They look like stars. Also, if you have a telescope, Uranus is visible, too.
just near the,
did I say that? Near your,
yeah,
near
you
the
did.
Horizon. I'm going to stick with weather. Two prominent stars, planets. They look like stars. Also, if you have a telescope, Uranus is visible, too. just near the... Did I say that? Near your near the horizon. I'm going to stick with weather.
You can do it!
My God.
yeah. You said Uranus.
Yeah,
it's visible if you have a telescope.
I mean, you know, man, that's one hell of a... That's a hell of a spot you got there. Way back there. Need a telescope, you say. Superstar Mike Morris, Ben Holson.
Hi, buddy.
We are Radioactive Sports.
How'd you do those games yesterday?
I won them all.
How did you? Well, then why did you drop like?
I'm a 38th. I'm 38th spot from 70th. I think I have 56 points. I don't know where. I don't know what you're looking at. 105 or Brad Johnson?
Well, I'm at 105theticket.com. Jim Rich still in second place because he's a son bitch.
Yeah, he's a son bitch.
I went from 16th to 10th.
Woo!
I'm crushing everybody.
How many people are involved in this?
Several hundred.
Several hundred thousand? I don't know where
million.
I'm at. I really don't know.
Mealy Reno is 1 point behind me after taking, I mean, after Iowa State. Yeah. And Mealy Reno and Brandon Lang last night saying West Virginia has the best chance to upset Kentucky. Did you see that game? They
that
doubled them up.
Was just about as embarrassing as you could possibly ask for. They talk about a team that far extended their welcome into this tournament. They played hard to get where they're at, to be in position to play out of the Sweet 16. But they ran, I mean, just like Brandon Lang said last night, you can fight so hard. And in fact, the last couple of games that you don't have anything left for a really big game down the road. And it's just, they ran out of gas, I think.
I felt bad for him a little bit. I almost had to turn the game. Well, I did turn the game off.
They ran out of gas. They clearly ran out of gas. I mean, they ran into some good people, man. But I'm on that side of the bracket. I'm in pretty good shape. I got to tell you.
I'm trying to find where you are in 105theticket.com's bracket because you're not very good at this. Superstar.
Why don't you kiss my ass?
Superstar.
Oh, shoot.
You're in 88th place.
Out of how many people? Seriously, find out how many.
Hundred.
Okay.
You are beating Bob Sansevier by 1 point. Bob
Ooh.
Sansevier tied for 116th place.
Ooh. And I'm in 88th, and he's at 116.
Yeah, because several people are tied.
A lot of people tied. Well, I got to show you something, and I want you just to review this very carefully. What do you see on the Midwest and the West side of this Brad Johnson's bracket? Because that's not a bad little run there.
No, that's not bad at all. You had you just picked what, Buffalo and Maryland wrong?
Yep.
And then Mississippi and Baylor,
which was the Jicky Jack game.
Yeah. Right? You're not very good at that either.
No.
I'm not too bad.
I mean, I got three that can still make it into the Final Four.
Me too.
So far, I mean, if Duke wins, I will have picked five out of the Elite Eight.
That's pretty good.
That's not bad.
No. It's not bad at all.
I mean, I've still got a championship game that's alive. I mean, I still stand the chance of Duke and Kentucky showing up.
What if Duke loses tonight?
That puts me in a pretty bad place. Really super bad place. But if they get there, I mean, like, you know.
That would be great.
If ifs and buts were candy and nuts, every day would be Christmas, though.
You know what we talked about yesterday, having Duke and Kentucky go up head-to-head so we can
see our boys.
The who shall not be named.
We're not going to talk about them, either one of them, because we want them both.
So I shouldn't say what's his nuts
well,
either?
We shouldn't.
He didn't have the greatest of game yesterday.
Yeah.
He was all right.
I like our guy over there playing with our guy,
what?
Tyus Jones. My guy, not your guy. Guy who plays with his back to the rim.
Yeah.
That guy. Guy who can't shoot from outside, guy who can't play defense.
You excited for any of the games tonight? The one that I really only care about, Duke, Utah. I think Duke will roll over him pretty hardcore. Michigan State, Oklahoma should be a pretty good game.
That's going to be a good game. You know, if I had my druthers, if I had a chance to pick these brackets all over again, I think Michigan State might show up at the big dance. Ahead of Duke. If I had to second guess this bracket, I would say Michigan State might take Duke out.
UCLA Gonzaga. Who wins that one tonight?
I think Gonzaga, don't you?
Utah Duke?
Duke.
NC State Louisville.
I think Louisville. Ooh, gee, I don't know. God dang it. See, with Villanova out of it and with, you know, University of Virginia out of it, it's so hard. I think probably Louisville. I don't know. What do you think? NC State?
Yeah. Louisville. I like coaching, man. I
do too. I think it will be Louisville. Louisville.
I've been burned.
Louisville. And Michigan State, you have to admit.
Tom Izzo, man. He's good stuff. Got the goods. Baby, got it going on.
That's some bitch. He can take his'n and beat urine and then take urine and beat his'n.
Excuse me?
I said urine. But I'm pretty big on that. And I stand a pretty good chance of still doing some damage in this damn tournament.
It's going to be hard to come back from the depths of hell, which is where your bracket is right now. At 88th place.
You got...
Oh, my God. Amelia Rado cut off her finger.
What happened there? What'd she do? Run it through a grinder?
I don't know, but there's blood and there's like a diaper.
No.
Yeah, she just tweeted it out.
Huh?
6 hours ago. Said gushing blood since 7 p.m. last night. Is that a problem?
No. No, not if you're in the hospital. I mean, you're in a good place, and then you can just keep pumping blood into your body as you lose it.
I think she was irate about her. I mean, because last night, like we just said, Brandon Lang, our resident gambling expert.
Where's he based out of anyway? Where is he based out of?
I would say New York City.
Is he?
Coast, I'm pretty sure.
Not Vegas.
No, I don't think so. Jersey, maybe. And then Amelia Reno, they both said West Virginia had a good chance of beating Kentucky.
Okay. All right. Silly people, you.
Houston, we have a problem.
Yeah, we do. Is Houston in this tournament?
No.
I guess they had some problems this year.
Timberwolves are in Houston tonight.
Nice segue.
Yeah, probably a couple of problems for the Timberwolves tonight.
The beard. The beard's pretty tough.
Yeah.
I think so.
Anything happening in your life that we should talk about?
I think probably the fact that I'm having a sex change.
Okay.
That's gone well. That has been the strangest thing for me trying to... I'm doing exactly what Bruce Jenner's doing. And that really... So there's nothing really much going on.
Yeah, you're beautiful.
Nothing really big. Nothing is really big. We got a little spring break coming up. The kids are off and, you know, so I'll be getting nagged by a bunch of kids.
Oh, that's great. I had my physical this morning.
And?
Because I was signed as a free agent by 105 The Ticket, and you got to pass a physical to, you know, to be on the team.
Of course you do.
No,
we all do.
For the yearly physical or whatever you have to have. So I was texting Hardwood Rob because most of our coworkers this week have had these physicals because of the health insurance that we have here or whatever. I said, going to get my physical today. Any suggestions? He said, I will buy you lunch if when the doctor tells you to turn your head and cough, you turn your head and giggle.
How do you have proof?
And say that tickles. So I said, well, what do you want me to do? Do you want me to, like, YouTube it? You want me to, like, take a video because you want to look at my my peenie? He said, no, that's disgusting.
And wear some Crocs.
My doctor offered to write, a note on prescription paper to say he giggled.
That's funny. That is funny. But you couldn't have proven that. I mean, your doctor, he'd be more than happy to lie for
you. Well, the second cough, he said, the second cough kind of sounded like a giggle.
We do have a pretty nice bet, though, going with James Rich, you and I do.
We do, that's right.
With the brackets, and whoever ends up worse in the Brad Johnson bracket challenge. All three of us are in that. Jim is in third place now. He's in third place. I think he's got 64 points or something like that. I've got 56.
You do have 56.
I think he's got 62 points.
But he has Kentucky and Duke winning it, so there's no way.
There is because, he's got Wisconsin.
Well, in 105theticket.com, Jim Rich, Fox 9, 105, he has Kentucky and Duke. He must have filled out two different brackets.
Oh, he had to have. Because I'm pretty sure in the...
How can he be leading both if he filled out two different brackets? The guy is just a genius.
If you do really well in those first rounds, it stacks your points up pretty well, but then you get more points for winning these bigger games coming down the... down the stretch.
I really wanted Wisconsin to lose last night. After we stayed here, and I don't know if you want this to be on the radio.
Oh, no, I want to tell everyone. I was going to tell everyone. You went and had a physical today, but last night, you know, if you're asking me what's happened to me over the last couple of days or what's going to happen, number one, I've learned not to leave my keys locked in my office. And the only reason I do is because you prank me.
That's
and
not
you
true.
Mess around, you I mess did it around one time. In my office and you jack it around, and then I have to worry about rehooking everything in there.
In the 2 years that we've worked together, I've done it one time. You prank me several times. And I think there's evidence that you're a prankster. Every time we talk to one of your former Viking teammates, you pranked them.
Yeah, I did.
So I got you one time where I unplugged your mouse and you were basically ready to throw your computer out the window because you said this damn thing doesn't work.
Son of a bitch.
So you locked the door and the keys were in the door. Yeah. So we ended up having to stay here basically all night waiting for somebody to come
here. They weren't
in
the door. They were in the office. You said I locked my keys.
And you were yelling at me, blaming me that I had taken your keys.
I was yelling at you. Blaming you if you were a good enough friend and a better business associate of mine, you would not prank me or anything in my office.
I haven't pranked you in like a year.
So I leave my keys in my office. Embarrassing moment. I clear off the desk here, turn the microphone off, true superstar segment, and I find out that I don't have my keys with me. So because of you and the paranoia you have caused me, which is true. It's a true thing. Admit it.
Okay.
I had to wait for the cleaning lady to show up at 8 o'clock. She showed up at 2 minutes till 8, so she was early.
Yeah.
Luckily. I waited 58 minutes. Because of your shenanigans.
And because of all the heat and all the stress that you caused me by yelling at me, I had to go have a couple of beer skis.
How many did you have?
I do two. I'm a two-beer guy. I go to a restaurant. I have dinner. Sure. I grab two beers, and then I go home. I do two beers, and that's it. I don't get crazy. I'm not crazy at all.
Okay.
But anyway, I'm sitting there watching the UNC-Wisconsin game, yep. And darn it, if North Carolina isn't about to win the game. Then they got screwed there at the end. Not as bad as SMU did with that fake goaltending call, but they just had to hit their free throws, and they didn't do it. And they made some stupid foul on one of the Wisconsin guards, and the game was over. But literally, North Carolina almost upset Wisconsin last night. And obviously, being on the border with Wisconsin, we have a lot of Wisconsin fans that live here, a lot of people that root for Wisconsin when you go out, you know, as a secondary prize to root for the Gophers. Since the Gophers aren't in it, people root for Wisconsin, which I think is asinine.
I agree. It's ridiculous and asinine.
That Arizona game was fun last night. I mean, a lot of great basketball
last
night.
How did you pass your physical if you drank beer last night? You're not supposed to drink beer before a physical.
How do you know?
Because I had to take one.
When?
Several times.
Well, for football, what happens?
Well, if you take a physical, you're not supposed to drink anything because didn't they take a lab, a blood?
Yeah, but that, I mean, it was last night. It was at least 12 hours. My physical was this morning at 10.
Okay.
I had plenty of time. He asked, have you had anything to eat or drink this morning? I said, no, I'm good.
See, there you go. So you didn't mess that up.
Well, I didn't tell him about the shots that I was taking.
What kind of shots were you taking?
Shots of Patron and whiskey and...
Jeez.
I mix.
You always go to that same place, too. And you get smashed a lot, don't you? I mean, you only drink two, but you're lightweight, and so you're smashed after two beers.
That's not true.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
You probably had a couple craft beers last night. You always have a couple North Lakes Honey Brown Lagers mm-hmm. with me.
Yep.
So you drink too much.
No. Doctors say if you have three or more drinks a day, you increase your risk of cancer, so I only do two.
Well, there you go. I mean, you have to figure it out.
I don't want to get cancer.
They always told me that if you had two a night, you might have a problem. If you had to have two every night.
I don't have to have two every night. I like to have two every night. It's a difference.
Only in one word. Have to or like to.
Yeah.
I think you're addicted. I really, honestly, I think you should check yourself in.
Heck of a show today. We're not talking about me. We're talking about you. 4.5 questions. Marsh Hallberg. Hallberg Criminal Defense start his Friday segment here with Sports Radio 105. The Ticket
Radio.
I want
to find out why the Wilfs didn't get the soccer franchise opportunity.
Yeah, well, he'll talk about that.
I want to find out why I should use Hallberg Criminal Defense. Have you seen the three
it's great.
Commercials?
It's great.
Those are good.
We'll post those
are very good. Things to not do.
Jim Rich talking about Wild hockey tonight, a big game against Calgary, and there's a good chance they may not make the playoffs. I'm talking Minnesota Wild. There's such a crunch there. There is no room for error whatsoever. We'll get into that with Jim Rich, Hardball, Mike Berardino, Tom Schreier talking about why the Minnesota Wild are poised for a playoff run. I mean, everything looks like they are. He's part of our Cold Omaha writing team. And then Pete Wagner, Al Newman, Gene Larkin starting a brand new show here on 105 The Ticket tomorrow called On Deck Radio about, obviously, baseball. 11 a.m. Saturday mornings on 105 The Ticket. We'll talk to them in the 6 o'clock hour. But right now, we've got a ton of things to give away. You want to read it?
I can do it if you want me to. Do you want me to?
Can you?
Tell me if you want. Oh, now you're asking me if I would, please. Caller number seven. That's 651-989-9105. Wins a pack, a four-pack of Minnesota Swarm tickets. Lower level at that. Swarm tickets start as low as $21 and can be purchased by calling 1-888-MN-SWARM or by visiting mnswarm.com. Caller number seven gets a four-pack to the Swarm at 651-989-9105. Good luck, sissy pants.
Two prominent stars, planets. They look like stars. Also, if you have a telescope, Uranus is visible, too. just near the... Did I say that? Near the horizon. I'm going to stick with weather.
I would stick with weather if I were you, sissy pants. Come on back, everybody. It's Radioactive Sports.
The NASCAR Sprint Cup Series, only on 105 The Ticket.
Joey Logano just squeezed out into the lead. McCoy slots in the second. Matt Kenseth and Kevin Harvick side by side for third.
This Sunday, the STP 500 is at the shortest track in the Sprint Cup Series, Martinsville Speedway. Tune in Sunday at 11 a.m.
That's the battle for the lead in turn one.
This is Brad Keselowski.
This is Dylan Hart Jr.
This is Jeff Gordon.
This is Jimmy Johnson.
This is Kevin Harvick.
Your home for NASCAR in the Twin Cities is Sports Radio 105 The Ticket. Feel that? Radioactive Sports. 105 The Ticket.
With Teddy and his development, you can see each week how he's getting more and more comfortable. And every week you go out there and say, boy, he just get better at that. And Teddy works extremely hard. It's very important to him. Just his approach and his demeanor and the way he handles all the adversity. Everybody to a man down in that locker room wants to play for him.
That's very important, what Mr. Springfield just said. Dick Springfield. Call us up. We're going to talk about Ted Bridgewater. We toughened his name up a little bit. I did, at least. I don't know if Ben's going along with it, but I don't call him Teddy anymore. It sounds too cuddly and too cute. He's Ted Bridgewater from Louisville. 651-989-9105. 651-989-9105. If you want to call the Radioactive Sports program, thank you, Common. You can give us a ring, and you can... way into this this topic. Some kids come into the league, and if they are good enough to actually pull it off, especially a quarterback, right away they'll turn around and have a tough year. They go the other direction because they think it's easy, because they think they can do the same thing year in, year out.
Do you think this year's draft class, when it comes to quarterbacks, is as good as, better than, on par with, or worse than last year? There's a guy that I listened to who's in this market, obviously, who said Blake Bortles is the best quarterback out of the draft class as of last year.
Okay. No.
He texts and talks to people more than you know. Blake Bortles
is as good as anyone in this class coming out.
He said,
or better.
He said he is the best quarterback out of last year's draft class, okay. Or he looked like the best quarterback out of last year's draft class. And I could have heard that wrong, but I'm pretty sure I heard the...
You can say whatever you want to. It's fine to have your own opinion about sports.
But if you're dead wrong...
But let me just say that if...
How do you have any credibility?
Well, let's ask his head coach. The George...
George O'Leary,
O'Leary
back in...
Back, yeah, he yeah. said, look, he's not a franchise quarterback. Mm. That's his head coach. So I guess that whoever it is that made that assumption or that...
I think we all know who that was.
But. That assessment, then they know more than George O'Leary. That's his head football coach down at... Central Florida.
Ted Bridgewater was one of the best rookie quarterbacks in the history of the NFL when it comes to completion percentage.
That's all I'm saying.
And Derek Carr really wasn't that far behind him. I would say Derek Carr might even be better because, I mean, in similar, he and Blake Bortles in similar situations and franchises that are just god awful. Let's just be honest. Really little to no offensive weapons when it comes to, I mean, James Jones is basically your guy in the Oakland Raiders, and he's okay.
I mean,
for,
we had people.
As a... position.
Yeah. No, I know what you mean.
We did, but I'm saying Derek Carr and then Blake Bortles. Blake Bortles had nothing going on. Toby Gerhardt was his main bell cow. Toby Gerhardt's an okay running back if he's a change of pace guy.
He's a good player.
And you're used to getting beat up by Adrian Peterson. In comes mm-hmm. Toby Gerhardt. Mm-hmm. If I had Toby Gerhardt as my main bell cow, I'd be...
Well, I like Teddy.
I should be fired as a general manager.
I loved Toby Gerhardt. I really thought he was
but not as the main guy.
He actually can be. I think he ran into some injury trouble last year. Here he could have been, if he hadn't been dealt off, I would have thought we were in pretty good hands if say, Adrian went where he went last year and Toby was still here. Or if we got rid of AP and Toby was still here, I'd rather have enough.
I'd rather have a retired Dorsey Levens than Toby Gerhart.
No.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I would. No,
he's too old.
I don't care. That's how effective I think Toby Gerhart is.
Gerhart's a good player. He's a good football player. Mm-hmm. You don't like Asiata. I don't know what your problem is.
I don't love Asiata, no. And there's a good chance that if we draft a running back in the draft and Adrian Peterson comes back, guess who's out?
You're going to say Matt Asiata. I don't think he is.
They're not going to carry four running backs going into the game. He'll be in there.
I think he'll be in there. He's dangerous on the goal line.
Can he play fullback? Can he block?
I think he can, yeah.
Because then Zach Lyon might be gone. But they're not going to keep four running backs. That is, if Adrian Peterson comes back
and
they draft one.
No, I totally agree with that, too. But I think that Asiata has proven his worth. I really think that they like him.
But we have Adrian Peterson. You don't need a guy like Matt Asiata because he can do everything Matt Asiata can do, but better.
I don't know if Adrian Peterson's as good on the goal line as he is.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, true story.
If you have a telescope, Uranus is visible, too.
Oh, look, I can see it. It just came into focus. I can see it from here. Uranus. Asiata's a good player. I mean, I'm just going to argue that till the bitter end.
I think that
Peterson, he tends to fumble quite a bit, and he's lost the handle on a football down on the goal line more often than not.
It's Adrian Peterson we're talking about. He's pretty good.
He's a darn good running back.
Yeah, he might be the best running back of all time.
For Asiata to come in and spell Peterson, you don't give away any of your offense. You don't give away anything because he can run, pass protect. He can catch the football. He can rush the football. He can do all three things.
So can Jerick McKinnon.
I don't think so. I don't think he can block. I don't think Jerick can block, but I think he's a tough kid. I really do. I like him. But I think people write him off as a winner already, I think, way too soon, McKinnon. I think that they've sort of anointed him somehow, and I don't know why.
No, it worries me just a little bit with his lower back surgery that he had. I mean, if a guy's going to take a pounding and he's that small, but he's that built, he's that stacked, that concerns me just a little bit, but
he has some big playability.
Yeah, no, he does. And you know,
I don't see him as being the
Matt Asiata.
I can bring up play after play from last year.
Big playability.
Yeah,
he gets an open space, and guess what? There are guys running him down.
Well, he's not. I'm not going to say he's got that last gear to be able to finish a run.
I don't think he has the last three gears. I want to say if he had a transition.
Are you being funny about that? I mean,
no.
How many times did you see Matt Asiata catch a football and run for 25 or 30?
I like Matt Asiata.
He can make. That's a big play. Over 30 yards is a big play.
I'd rather have Adrian Peterson, Jerick McKinnon,
25 or 30 or more,
and some rookie running back than Matt Asiata.
I think Asiata is a tough cookie. I really do. I love the guy, but this is really about Ted, and I want to know what you think about him coming back and having a good year.
I think he's going to be
worse
great.
Year. I think he's going to be tough.
This is what Dick Spielberg said.
Yeah.
Every single time he sees Ted Bridgewater, whether it's in practice or games, and we saw it in front of our own eyes last year, every single game he was getting better. The team continued to rally around him and start believing in him. He's one of those guys that comes to practice early, stays at practice late, works hard with the likes of Charles Johnson. He's an overachiever, and I love him.
I think he's something else. I just love the kid.
Is there another quarterback besides, obviously, the Tom Brady's, but Ted Bridgewater has his whole career ahead of him, that you would trade Ted Bridgewater for? Obviously, probably Aaron Rodgers.
Well, I think there are several that I would take right now with one or 2 years on the window. But as a franchise guy, to take us down the road and keep in the saddle for a long time, I think Teddy's a good, you can bet on him for being the future as long as he can stay healthy. Because I think he's the kind of kid that will never, ever take a seat and rest. He just won't rest. He's going to keep going until he knows everything. He wants to know everything. He's a sharp kid. And I love the way his teammates, as Springsteen alluded to, Dick Springsteen, he's all the people in the room love him and want to play hard for him, and that's the ultimate respect. Because when your veteran players rally around him because they love him that much.
That too, and I also think that Ted Bridgewater is growing into the game, to the NFL game, and he's going to loosen up just a little bit this year. He already said that he's going to celebrate with his wide receivers or running backs when they get touchdowns.
Yeah.
He's going to let loose just a little bit. He's going to be so much more fun. But Victor from St. Paul, you're on 105 The Ticket.
Radio roulette.
He disagrees. No, it's not roulette when you know who it is.
Oh.
But Victor disagrees with you on Ted Bridgewater, I think. What's going on, Victor?
Oh, my.
Hey, what's going on? I don't necessarily disagree with him on Teddy Bridgewater. For the point, y'all are actually on point for me because I've been to a few of the home games, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually enjoyed watching Teddy, hearing the crowd get behind him, And you could see him grow from time to time in the game. Where I was slightly disagreeing, and I'm actually, and I can't believe I'm hearing this from superstars, that you like Matt Asiata that much.
Yeah, just see, Victor? He's been on this bandwagon since all of last year. It drives me insane because he's a worse Leroy Horde. You need 3 yards, I'll get you two. You need 1 yard, I'll get you two. Oh, good.
I guarantee you, you don't know what you're talking about on that one.
No, don't get me wrong. I like Matt. He's a nice running back.
He's a good player.
But when you throw him in the names of even Jerick McKinnon and Adrian Peterson,
I'm not comparing him to Adrian at all.
Well, you said he may be a better goal line running back than Adrian Peterson.
I think that he's as efficient. I know that he's as good as Adrian on the goal line. I can tell you that right now. Just pure numbers. I can tell you right now, per carry, per number of carries on the goal line, I'll bet he's scored just as many touchdowns as Adrian in the same time frame. Number of carries.
And when it comes to stats, I'm not going to probably disagree because I don't follow stats.
The kid has an incredible nose for the goal line. And as far as McKinnon, I put those two almost neck and neck. And I think I almost lean toward Asiata because he can actually pass block. And I don't think McKinnon can do that.
No, I don't think McKinnon's pass blocking yet, no.
No way, but I like him as a big playback. I like McKinnon as sort of a David Palmer out of the backfield. No one can cover the guy. He's really nifty.
I just don't think he's not as fast as David Palmer, though, do you think?
No. But David really wasn't that fast, but he was so lightning quick.
That's what it was,
the quickness. A change of direction. I mean, he'd just make you miss. He could vanish. You could have him in front of you, and he would vanish, and you'd whiff. And that's the kind of guy I think McKinnon can be. You have to remember, he came from... It was Georgia Southern as a quarterback, more of a quarterback than anything else.
And you can see it.
And you can see it, though. He's not quite a pure running back. You can see that in the way that he plays. He's got a lot of game. He's got a long ways to go. I mean, you put him out in open space, I think he's a tough, tough guy to cover. As far as coming out of the backfield, he's hit or miss between the tackles. Good from the outside the tackles. McKinnon, Asiata inside and out.
For 2 yards a carry.
Oh man,
3 yards a carry tops. That's what his average is.
We're gonna look that. I'm gonna look that up.
His average was 3.2 yards per carry last year.
Well, and I've told you why though, right?
You have told me why.
And why is it?
Because he's slow.
God, see, that's what I work with. Victor, that's a good call though, man. I respect your call and I respect your viewpoint. And so you can call us anytime. 651-989-9105, and you can call this show anytime. And that's a good point. He brings up several good points, and
well,
I think. I'm sorry, go ahead.
For that big guy, if we're talking Ted, the big guy that Minnesota just signed, what's his nickname?
Baba Gadoosh.
Yes. If he can actually learn the game, because I looked at some YouTube video on
him. Did you see that? I've seen a couple highlight reels of that guy. He pushes people off the ball. He really does.
Well, the people that are only up to his navel. I mean, he's playing with like miniature people, it seems like. Yeah. He's 6'9", 351 pounds.
I went in to pick up some medication at Edina Family Physicians, where Dr. Burns is from. And
some oxycodone.
I got some of that, too. I'm just lit up on that right now. But that kid was walking out of there.
Baba Gadooshi. Really?
He was walking out. He's enormous. I'm like, who the hell is that guy? Some guy, one of the Viking personnel, had driven him up there. I'm sure to have a physical before they signed him. And I'll be darned if we weren't talking about the same guy, because when I looked him up on video on YouTube, I mean, there he was. Oh. That was the kid.
Vikings don't do their own physicals?
Oh, yeah, they do. Of course they do.
They take him to that place, though?
Well, that's where Dr. Burns works.
Oh, Dr. Burns. That's right. Yeah.
Let's come on back.
You're a good man. Thank you, sir. Appreciate
thank you.
It.
Nicely done, sir. We've got 4.5 questions up next. You know how it goes around this place. It's Friday. Let's have some fun with this on Radioactive Sports.
From pro to college to high school, we've got it all covered.
This guy is continuously failing drug tests. He has to be suspended because he's a loser. He's just an irresponsible mess.
Passionate sports talk on your sports station, 105 The Ticket.
Coming back home, we can't have any kind of idea or sense that we're just going to go play better by making nicer plays. Those plays develop by doing certain things. And for us, I think it comes down to getting back to a team that's tough to play against at home.
If you have a telescope, Uranus is visible, too.
I mean, that's if you're just trying to find your own. I mean, you have to have a telescope that bends way back and around and back up
mirrors.
Under.
It's the magic of mirrors.
Mirrors, you have to use some mirrors. It's all smoke and mirrors is what it is. Mm-hmm. You can see Uranus with that, though. Mike Yo talking about how you have to be locked and loaded for Bear. It doesn't matter. If you got a good team coming in, which The Calgary Flames tonight. It's a test. It's a test, and we have to have them all. We wondered why he was playing everyone so hard and not taking Dubnyk out. Dubnyk wants to play, but I don't think Yo would want to take him out either because he's afraid of the result of...
Oh, for sure.
And you can't afford to make one slip. They've had to be this hot for this long to find a way to get back this close, and it's still tight. It's still going to be tight.
It's funny that you mentioned that because that's question number one in 4.5 questions because this five-game homestand starts tonight. We just talked about that. Calgary Flames, during these last 8 games, all of which will be against playoff contenders, by the way. The Wild will face off against teams that are either just a couple of points ahead of them or a couple of points behind them, making this stretch, you know, really rather stressful, very important. The question, though, seems crazy to ask this now that the Wild have had this miraculous comeback, but should Coach Mike Yo be fired if somehow the team does not make the postseason?
No. No.
No?
No way.
What do you mean, no way?
Why would you do that?
Because he should be fired.
He should be fired. That's a good idea. No, he's actually kept this all together through thick and thin. Not having the right players out there.
If Dubnyk wouldn't have been traded for from the Phoenix Coyotes, Mike Yo, and they would have continued on the path that they were.
A goaltender. None of those players were able to play. That's how good we are if we have someone that can guard the pipes. That's how good we are. He had the right combination. He always was saying the system is good. The system works. It's kind of like Brad Childress.
But you have to have the best goalie in the league to be good.
I don't know.
Anybody that has the best goalie in the league is going
to
be good.
It works hand in hand. I think it works hand in hand. The fact that they can do what they need to do, and he's got the right lineups now. He's got first, second, third line making sense and scoring, getting scoring out of all four.
Is on fire.
All four.
Yeah.
And now Dubnyk is, they make him good too. Those guys are making Dubnyk that much better too. Now, there's no question that he's an unbelievable talent. I mean, he stops a lot of shots. I mean, every night he's proven himself. But they're doing what they're supposed to be doing now. This is how good this team would have been with a goalkeeper, with a good goaltender at the beginning of the season.
You realize how fed up and irate fans are going to be if they miss the playoffs?
Well, it's not going to be Mike's fault.
I don't know.
If your player, he can't go out there and skate. He can't go out there and goaltend. What's he going to do? I mean, he had a fit. He was breaking sticks all over the ice and mad at him. I mean, look, if everything works the way it's supposed to, Vanek came to life, everyone came to life, you lose Zucker, you lose all those guys that you think are going to be key components that they can't play without, it still works. Still works.
All right, question two, the Gopher men's basketball team, miserably disappointing season. It's upsetting. We've talked about whether they should, what am I saying here? Whether they should do with or without this their second-year coach. He's only 32, by the way, Richard Pitino. Mm-hmm. Even though the team won the NIT championship just 1 year ago, with the announcement that Tennessee has fired their head coach now, rumors are swirling. Like they always do, it seems like, in the Gopher offseason, whether it be Jerry Kill. But Richard Pitino now was their top choice a year ago. And if he's offered the job, would he take it? Those are all these questions that are being asked in both papers on both sides of the river. Tennessee has more resources. They have a practice facility already in place, something that athletic director Norwood Teague obviously working towards, but trying to raise the money and get it done is something completely different. Pitino's recruiting class for next year may be top 25 rated. That doesn't happen around these parts very often. Would losing Richard Pitino be devastating for the Gopher basketball program?
It would. It would. Change is tough. On young kids, especially in college, you're one of his guys. He recruited you here. Now he's gone. So now everything you were hanging your hat on and hoping for and wanting to play for this guy is now gone. You're still at University of Minnesota. But more so than
if
that,
they stay.
And there's if they don't jump up and leave like he did, a new guy comes in. It's a new change. It's a new system. It's a new guy yelling at you. Do you buy into him or not? It's a tough thing to do to a bunch of young kids. It's tough in the pros.
How long do you think Richard Pitino is going to stick around? Because seriously, if he turns this, I mean, in the Big Ten, you can be a really successful team. Look at Wisconsin. Look at Ohio State. Michigan State. Very successful team.
No
I mean,
question.
Michigan, the Wolverines have been good.
It's, to win the NIT and then to go backward and to have a team stacked with seniors. I mean, NIT was a nice thing to sort of talk about for a while. I mean, it's not the biggest thing, but they won the NIT, and so it's something worth talking about. But to come back and have three seniors from that class coming back and from that team coming back and then to do what we did this year, not good. I don't know if he deserves to come back himself.
Yeah.
I don't know about you. I think it's disappointing.
No, I said majorly. Miserably disappointing.
Yeah.
Question three, the Wolves announced today they're pitching in another $19.5 million towards the cost of the new Viking Stadium downtown. They want to add this this plaza, enhance the plaza out front, food service equipment, seat upgrades, and a nice little fancy deck that looks out towards Minneapolis. The pictures of that look pretty cool. The team's private contributions now since the stadium legislation passed have been nearly $74 million in extra monies. For a total team contribution of $551 million of the stadium's cost, or 52% of the total cost. Are you satisfied with how the Wolves and the Vikings organization have paid for these added construction costs since getting the state to fork over $498 million of our money?
I mean, if that isn't enough, if you want to make it fancier and more of something that you see, your own vision, I mean, that's on you. I mean, why would you come back and try and strangle us?
Oh, there's no chance.
For another dime.
There's
no
chance it's going to happen, though.
Of course not. Yeah. If you want the nicer things, if you have a better idea, you have a little change order here or there, and you want something nice, a nice deck, a nice patio, a nice fan experience out in front, it's your idea. Don't come to us. It's your idea.
Yeah, the Twins did the same thing with Target Field. Field, like you said, the Taj Mahal of baseball stadiums, really. It's one of the top three best baseball stadiums. And at one point, they said it was the best stadium in all of professional sports. Only cost about $535 million. When I say only, but compared to the downtown Viking Stadium, it's half the price. But the Polads wanted to add little trinkets here, do this specific, which I think they did a beautiful job.
Nice job.
But the Polads forked over their own money, just like the Wolves are doing, to make it that special place, that Twins centric place.
I think it's a masterpiece. Target Field. I think this is even a bigger, better fortress.
It better
be this new Viking Stadium. When they in the paper, pick up the paper from time to time. Still, I mean, the doors came in, the 98 foot tall doors, the pivot doors. What a fascinating thing to watch them put those up. I mean, they had pictures in the paper of them actually taking a crane to pick up a door, one door. This place is going to be incredible.
Remember when you said you wanted one of those doors to fall and kill me?
Yeah.
That was nice of you.
Well, you missed the date that you were supposed to be down there. They said they were going to.
Okay. Question four, we love food here, and we eat it daily, by the way, Radioactive Sports. We talked about famous additions to ballparks around the country and these little food things that they got going on, the latest being obviously the nachos on the stick. Miller Park, the Brewers. Today, though, Ken Herbeck's wife, Jeannie, tweeted that the bar behind home plate inside Target Field, bearing Herbeck's name, is adding quite the Bloody Mary to the menu. It's called College Days Bloody Mary. It's going to cost $19. The Bloody Mary comes with a slice of cold pepperoni pizza, a beef stick, pepper jack and cheddar cheese cubes, pepperoncini, olive, celery, and a pickle spear served with a beer back. Any idea how much that costs?
I have no idea. I thought you said $19.
$19. Is that worth $19, or does that join the list of must-haves for Twins fans at Target Field?
Yeah.
$19, you'd go spend it on that?
Yeah. Sure. You and I are going to go to some of those games, daytime games, before we check in here. Start the Nooners. We're going to load up on that right there that you just mentioned. I forget the pepperoni pizza, the Bloody Mary. With a beef stick?
Yeah.
A beef stick?
Yeah.
I mean, that's funny.
Cheddar and pepper jack cheese cubes.
$19 worth. That, boom. Call it lunch.
$19.
Now we're checking in here to do radioactive sports on Bloody Marys.
And we're smashed.
Yeah, we're going to be smashed.
The best thing, in my opinion, to have is Tony Oliva's Cuban sandwich.
Oh.
Unbelievable.
Unreal. Gosh.
So many good
Cuban
things, but that's really
Cuban
good.
I love Cuban food. I realize Tony Oliva's. I haven't had that before. But
what? It's in a little cart.
I haven't had the Tony Oliva thing.
Oh, God, that's the first thing you're getting when we go to a Twins game.
Love Cuban food. Victor's, 1959, by the way. Whew, good restaurant. What's this? Look at Marsh Hallberg. Am I reading this right?
Yes, Marsh Hallberg.
Hallberg's in with us today for the first time. He joins us for his first campaign with Radioactive Sports. This is unbelievable, everybody. You're going to really like this guy. He knows what he's doing. He can get you out of trouble. He's gotten me out of trouble many times, and I owe him my life. Marsh Hallberg up next.
Do you live for hunting and fishing? Tune in to Ticket Outdoors with Brian Zepp.
If you are still wanting to buy a turkey license for the state of Minnesota, if you're thinking about just casually doing it the next day or that evening, I would not wait that long.
I thought you were going to buy a license, because it doesn't make any sense to me, because if I'm wearing camouflage, the game warden won't know who I am anyway.
Yeah.
Do you see me?
Ticket Outdoors, presented by Dan's Southside Marine. 2 hours every Wednesday at 7 on 105 The Ticket. You're listening to 105 The Ticket. Back to superstar Mike Morris and Ben Holson.
If you have a telescope, Uranus is visible too.
What?
Huh?
Venus is visible.
Say that on
that was while he's talking about the planet. Obviously, that was a weather guy from Boston who said because you could see Uranus last night. You know what I mean?
There's a bit of a pause in the middle of that word.
Yeah. No, but Uranus has been visible, I want to say, in the western or southern sky or some. I don't even have any idea what it is, but if you have a telescope, you can see Uranus.
Got it.
I bet you couldn't see mine with one.
By the way, Marsh Hallberg, Hallberg Criminal Defense, joins us every Friday at this time. The criminal defense attorney is the best in the business. Brought to you by Ability Bail Bonds.
They are, and they are the best, too. I think we're proud to have those guys tied to us. And I really mean this. I've been using Ability. This isn't anything I've been paid to say or anything else. I'm just telling you, I use Ability Bail Bonds, have for years. There's a lot of companies out there that I think are pretty iffy, and they are not, I think, the best. And when somebody gets in trouble, they're nervous, they're scared, they're wondering what to do anyway. And these guys are really classy. They don't try to take advantage of people. They're responsible. They show up on time. They're fair priced. And regardless of whether they're with us in the show or not, that's why you know, they're good.
Awesome. They also sponsor your under review blog on 105theticket.com.
Did you catch that nuance? Under review, it's a legal term when cases are under review, and it's a sports term.
What?
A call is under review.
What?
There's a lot of deep marketing thought that went into the phrase.
That's why we have you on every week.
Deep.
Marsh Hallberg.
So I tell people, we got a great ticket website. Go on there. If you go on the what's called the Flipboard, which is the main box at the top of the website, there's a bunch of different topics.
I don't have a Flipboard on mine.
Well, you don't. You'd be hurt yourself.
You're a Jicky Jack, though.
Yeah.
There are two things under review with Hallberg Criminal Defense, brought to you by Ability Bail Bonds. Which NFL team is moving to Los Angeles?
You know, that's kind of... It's happening for sure. The question isn't if somebody's going to move. It's how many teams go and how quick do they go, right?
2016 is from what I was hearing, right? Coming out of the NFL owners meeting in Phoenix.
Well, Bob Kraft has actually been on board saying that himself very openly.
Huh. Yep, last owners meeting. You got 4 million people there, way too much money, way too much stuff to do. They're going to get at least one, I believe, two teams. At least one in 2016.
Why do they need two?
Because they have 4 million people.
But let's just see if one works. Because, I mean, two obviously didn't work before. That's why the Oakland Raiders moved back to Oakland and St. Louis Rams.
I played there twice. In my entire career. I played against the Anaheim Rams when they were in Anaheim. And I played against the L.A. Raiders for the season opener as a Viking. I think it was 1992.
Where did you play for that? Do you remember?
Coliseum.
Did you? Okay.
For both?
I played the Los Angeles Raiders once at Stanford.
Stanford?
I'm sorry, but at USC. Okay. And then there was another stadium outside of that, though. There was a problem at the Coliseum. It was the Rose Bowl. Was the Rose Bowl.
Yeah, because the Rams were there from, 46 to 94.
Mm-hmm.
And they left the same year the Raiders left. Because the Raiders were there for 12 years.
Yeah, and then back to Oakland.
And the same day, December 31st, 94, two NFL teams leave the same city.
Incredible. Incredible.
And then you got the Chargers who were there for their very first year before they moved down to San Diego.
Because there's a lot of moving and shaking going on. I've heard rumors that the Rams will go back to Los Angeles and the Jacksonville Jaguars may move to St. Louis to fill that hole on the back end.
You got the three teams. Two of these three are going. You've got the Raiders, the Chargers, and the Rams. Two of those three teams are going to end up in L.A. St. Louis has an amazing situation going. Stan Kroenke's the name of the owner there. He's got a deal. He's in the concept plan for a new stadium to be built in Inglewood, California. It's already in the plans. It's ready to go.
Inglewood up to no good.
There you go.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know your rap at all.
That's me. Yeah. Rap, that's me. It's an $80 billion stadium. So he's already basically got approval from the city in the city council to build it there. And so he's got a gun to St. Louis's head because it's either, look, Anheuser-Busch, you guys either step forward here, get me this new stadium you're talking about building on the north side of St. Louis. You put that in place like yesterday, or I'm going to have, and I'll own the stadium up in Los Angeles, so with another investment group. So he's going to win either way. He's going to get a sweetheart deal to stay in St. Louis because they're terrified about losing their team.
Again.
Or he's going to move them up to Inglewood. So that's what they've got going. And then they got the other two teams. You got the Raiders and the Chargers. They've actually signed a joint development agreement that they're going to build a stadium together. And, you know, I'm sure there's a million outs for each of them if one of them doesn't go, but their plan is to build a stadium together, play at the Rose Bowl for a year or two till they get this thing done, and then move over and share the stadium.
Incredible.
And so everybody's got a gun to the city that they're at now. And
we've been through that before, Vikings fans.
Yeah, that was a big threat.
Yeah,
right?
I was in St. Louis when they walked out of there and sold the team. Well, didn't sell the team, but Bill Bidwell moved out to Arizona, but he had bids in from I think it was Memphis, and it was with Baltimore at the time.
Yeah.
And, of course, Arizona wanted a new team. So he went out there instead. And Augie Bush offered to buy the team from Bidwell, and he wasn't going to have it. So he moved the team to Arizona. So, but they've had the Chicago Cardinals in for the new St. Louis Cardinals.
Okay.
They went to the desert in 1988. Now this Georgia Frontier brought the Rams in from Anaheim. And now this again. They went from Bush Stadium to the TWA Dome, which is garbage. That's where I played my last football game.
They say it's the worst.
It was horrible.
That's where they play right now.
Yeah. And now they want another stadium. Believe it or not, another stadium already in the north part of St. Louis, as you mentioned.
Yeah.
So they've just been getting it all the time. St. Louis gets dumped on all the time.
And it's become such an event now because you not only have the stadium and all the stuff that goes with it, naming rights and all that, but now they're smart enough to start to buy up, you know, half a mile around the site because urban renewal and all the other development, retail and everything else.
And I still want to know how they're going to make a team work in Los Angeles when they already had these teams and something didn't work, something didn't click, the marketing scheme wasn't right, people in California didn't want to come out to the games and they had to leave. They've sent teams packing left and right. I want to know how they've got it right this time.
New stadiums and the missing of football down there for so long.
Well, there's actually, it makes it seem more complicated. There's actually another very viable proposal that's been floated out there. It's a $1.5 billion stadium right next to Staples Center. Small piece of property, but all the infrastructure is there for all the parking and off ramps. So the highways are already there for the Staples Center. And they'd put it right in there. So a lot of locations and a lot of money floating around.
Marsh Hallberg coming right back with his second segment on his first of with the Radioactive Sports Crew right after the break.
Uh-oh. I love it. New music.
You're in trouble.
This is for Marsh Hallberg segment number two, Hallberg Criminal Defense, brought to you by Ability Bail Bonds.
Ability.
And you've been with them for a long time, you said, in the first segment.
Yep, they just do. And again, for most people hopefully never get in this situation, but you get in trouble, they throw you in jail. A lot of times you got to post money to get out, make sure you come back. And you got to do that in one of two ways. Either you got to put up cash, which can be a big bundle, and they literally will only take cash. You can't walk in with a credit card. You have to walk in with cash. So I've had people walking around downtown Minneapolis with tens of thousands of dollars in their pocket because that's all the jail will take.
Which is the safest place to be.
Oh, absolutely. Especially like 2 in the morning.
Yeah, you know? No, it's perfect. We were talking about Los Angeles and the football teams because you had written a blog on 105theticket.com under review. You should check that out as well. But Brian from Minneapolis said he lived in L.A. when those teams moved there, and he wants to make a comment or two. Hey, Brian, you're on 105 The Ticket. What's up?
Hey, guys. They had two really weird situations when you're trying to think of why two teams would move away. Georgia Frontier, when she took over the club, she wanted to be treated like the queen. I mean, she literally was crazy. She had terrible people in management that made terrible draft picks. I mean, she ran the team into the ground, and much like the movie Major League, she wanted, yeah, I mean, she just liked it, except an uglier version. She's just,
oh, my God. What's wrong with you? What's wrong with you?
I love it, Brian. Let it rip. Keep going.
She was a wonderful woman.
It made me really angry. I mean, it's true that they're not the most intense football fans down there, and it's not because they don't care. It's just that they're from all over the place. If you went into a sports bar, you better have all the games on because you're going to find people from every place in the country living there. I mean, when we went to a Vikings game down there, half the crowd was cheering for the Vikings, and probably a lot louder than the Rams fans. But they do have a good core of football fans down there. She moved the team to Anaheim and said, well, there's no difference, Anaheim, Los Angeles. And, you know, if you're on the freeways down there, that could take you almost 3 hours to get down there. And Al Davis, when he came in there, well, do you need to say anything more about ownership in Al Davis? I mean, he came in there, and they were asking him what his plans were, and he says, well, they're going to build me a new stadium. I think it was in Irwindale at the time. And, they said, well, what happens if they don't? He said, I haven't unpacked my bags yet. You know, he was ready to blackmail them. And that's basically what happened. When they didn't build it, he left.
Well, it's interesting, Brian, you probably noticed, but, you know, Davis's kid, now they've paid off millions and millions of dollars in fines that the Raiders had. So every one of the other owners got a huge check here, you know, recently for...
Fines for what?
For all the penalties he had for all the violations he did over the years.
That he would just never pay?
Well, he never paid. Yeah. So there was millions of dollars in fines that were not paid, and it was owed to the owners.
Yes.
So that, because the Raiders are trying to move and they want to make... They obviously got to get a team vote.
For sure.
So they came in and paid millions, so everybody got a check.
One more thing, guys. The reason why nobody moved in there, one of the reasons anyway, is because Al Davis threatened to sue whoever went in there. He thought that was his domain there. You know, all of California, he thought was his. He wasn't going to put up with somebody coming in there. But, you know, and Al Davis was sue crazy. I mean, he'd sue over anything. So
No, thank God he's dead now. I mean, he looked like he was dead the last couple of years of his life anyway. But
he was the crypt keeper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He used to be so funny. He'd walk around in this white, like, tracksuit, like a sweatsuit, and he'd have the glasses on with the chain.
Commitment to excellence, everybody.
And he'd walk around us in calisthenics, and he'd laugh and chuckle and carry on, and then you'd hear him talking trash to one of the players. Literally, he'd play the game like he was being friendly about it, and then he'd look down at one of the receivers or a quarterback and say, "It isn't going to happen today."
What does that mean?
I mean,
it's
going to be a bad day. It's going to be a tough day.
To his own players?
No, to our players.
Oh, to you,
yes.
The visiting team.
Yeah.
How was he allowed to do that?
I don't know.
How was he allowed to do half the things
Davis.
How is Mark Davis allowed to have that haircut he has?
It's a bad haircut.
That's my question.
It is a bad haircut.
Anyway, talking to Marsh Hallberg, Hallberg Criminal Defense, every week at this time. Moving on, the Wolves. They got beaten out for that new soccer team.
Yep.
And will the stadium really happen for the soccer team?
And if you know, there's this game called soccer, Ben. I don't know if you've heard of this. It's a new sport.
It's funny because somebody tweeted me the other day and said, "Ben, I love you to death, but when you talk about soccer, you sound like Sid Hartman."
And you see Sid at a soccer game.
Well, let's obviously, we know soccer is the biggest sport in the world. I think that's a fair guess.
Sure.
But
yeah, sure is.
And tease you guys. So before we talk about the stadium a little bit, I got a little teaser for you now. I want you to name, in order now, the top five most popular games, sports in the world. Soccer's number one, so you only got four to go.
Okay. So NASCAR is one. Another one of them.
In the world, okay?
In the world, so no.
Okay. No. Yeah, something be nice
say,
to
you. I don't want to say almost tennis.
Rugby's up there.
It's not.
I'd say even badminton.
Tennis is number four.
Yeah.
Is cricket up there?
Cricket probably is.
Cricket's number three.
I wouldn't doubt that.
Cricket's number three.
Yes. I wouldn't doubt that. I
mean, you got soccer, blank, then you got cricket, then you got tennis, then you've got, what would be another word?
Baseball.
Exactly. Baseball is number five.
See.
So you're missing one.
Basketball.
Yeah. Which I never would have put as the second largest.
Well, that makes sense. I mean, Stephon Marbury just won another championship with the greatest athlete ever to ever play in China.
Yeah.
Basketball.
Well, I never would put that. So, yep, those are the five. So anyway, we've got a stadium coming, hopefully.
Who's going to pay for it?
But the Wolf deals, I thought that was a very, very amusing thing that Jim Rich brought up yesterday, was that they were surprised they didn't get it because they proposed something that didn't include taxpayer money.
Right. Yeah, that's right. Isn't that great? Yeah.
Isn't that nice?
Ignore the $500,000 in taxpayer.
Billion. Help.
Half billion. Yeah.
Yeah, half billion. Excuse me. Half a billion, right?
Yeah, we already got all of it. So we proposed a deal for the soccer stadium where that wouldn't be one of the things included.
And the thing you learn from that is, you know, so we have an article on the ticket website about this today. Doug Hazelton, who's a soccer fanatic in my office. You want to meet a crazy soccer guy, it's this man. His whole office is soccer jerseys and soccer.
They're nutty. They're nutty people. I don't get it, but whatever.
Doug, you're nutty. But what they had is they had this incredible stadium, but that's not what, you know, you got to sell to what the buyer wants, right? And the buyer here wants an outdoor stadium. They want natural grass, and they don't care about the fact that the stadium was already there. So they didn't make the right pitch for what they had. And there's enough money for think of the players that the people that own the rights now to this team. There's a lot of money in that group. You know, Polad and
Glenn Taylor, Marilyn Carlson Nelson, I think, is involved as well.
Bucks. So I think
Manchester United.
Yeah, so what? It's $100 million for the franchise fee, and it's $150 million roughly for the stadium.
$150 to $200, I think.
Yeah,
is what
so you're at about $250-$300 million investment, but they're not going to get any legislative money. They probably.